Hope you've had a Merry Christmas already, but as we enjoy this day, a Christmas day on a Sunday, time we get to enjoy a time of remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for us. All right. As I was thinking about Christmas, you know, we all have our little different traditions and different things that we like to do at Christmas time. One of the things that we always did, and even my in-laws did, was reading the scripture about Jesus Christ's birth. And such an enjoyable thing to remember. You know, this year, both my family and my in-laws had to do it a little bit differently this year because we didn't have those men who used to do that. My father and my father-in-law are no longer here to do that, but they've prepared us to take up that mantle, to carry this on for Jesus Christ, to continue to proclaim his name to our family as well as others. And so we can be thankful for that, you know, that God's prepared us for that through these men, these faithful men of God. So we're just thankful for them, that they're in glory worshiping Christ in person this morning. So that's a great thing that we can think about, that one day we'll all be there worshiping our Savior. As I was thinking about Christmas, you know, I was one of those naughty kids. I know you can't imagine that, but whenever the presents were underneath the tree, you know, you're curious, you know, what gift did I get? And, you know, I hate to admit that I would cheat. I would shake them a little bit. I would try to peel the wrapper back a little bit. You know, all those things that you're not supposed to do. But you know, we have a gift that we know what the gift brings. Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. And we get to celebrate his birth today. But even more importantly is knowing Jesus Christ is our Savior. Why he came. And so we're going to look into that today. As we think about the Old Testament, there were some prophecies. We're not going to go through a bunch of those today, but I'll just reference them. But in Isaiah 7:14, it talks about, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." In a little bit, we'll read that in the New Testament. God made a promise that he was going to send someone for our sin. In Genesis 3:15, it talks about the enmity between the woman and her seed and the seed of Satan, and the conflict there. So we know a little bit about that. In Micah 5:2, even tells us where he was going to be born, in Bethlehem. In Isaiah 9:6, it talks about, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he's going to be called a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You could have a whole message just on that passage there, but we're not going to stop there today. But again, the promises that God made, and he fulfilled those promises. And he's fulfilling that even through our lives. We get the opportunity to proclaim him to others so others can know him as we know him. If you want to turn over to Matthew 1, 18 through 25... Matthew 1, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Let's read this in unison, verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What a blessing. That's almost puts a little tingle in your spine, doesn't it? If you think what he came for. I'll go ahead and read the rest. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In the chapel message in school, we were talking about this passage, and the main point I brought out was Joseph obeyed what God told him to do. It was not an easy thing. I'm sure there was probably some difficulties that were related to that because she was pregnant before they were married. But he obeyed what God told him to do. And God's given us instruction on what we should do in his word. So hopefully we would have that same kind of attitude. We would obey even though we don't understand. I'm sure he was not sure of everything that was going on, even though the angel told him. He was probably a little nervous about what he was doing, but he just obeyed God. Let's turn over to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. In verses 26 to 38, we're not going to read all that. I'm just going to reference some spots in this passage. But again, it talks about virgin. This virgin was espoused. And again, her name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. If you skip down a little bit to verse 30, it says, Thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall, or call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then if you go down to the middle part of verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. If you skip down to verse 38, it says, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Another important point, Mary obeyed. She was willing to do what the angel said was going to happen to her. She didn't rebel against what God had called for her to do. Actually, it was a blessing that many of the Jewish women looked forward to maybe being that one that would bring the Messiah. And so she obeyed, even though she didn't fully understand everything, I'm sure, and all the consequences that would come of it. But also she didn't know all the blessings that would come of it also. But she was just obedient. Again, obedience is what God asks for us to do. And she was obedient. Joseph was obedient. She was called highly favored. You know, she had favor with God. And I don't think it was because she was holy and righteous in herself, but she had a love for God, and she obeyed what God's word said to do, even in the Old Testament before the New Testament was there. She was obedient. She did what she was supposed to do. She loved God. Another example to us of what we should be doing. As you turn over to Luke 2, let's look at the first five verses of Luke 2. It says, And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I can imagine they probably thought this was an inconvenience, probably. I know I would have thought, well, Lord, all this is supposed to happen to us. Why are we having to go to Bethlehem? But God had a plan. He already told us what that plan was in the Old Testament. He had spelled that out, where he would be born, where Jesus Christ would be born. And so we can see those things, how God has a plan. He has a plan for our life as well. He directs our paths. Are we willing to obey and go in that path? Follow what he's called us for us to do? And so God uses this census, this taxing, to direct them to where they were supposed to be. It probably, again, was not easy. She was pregnant. She was very close to having a baby, and they had to make this trip. And so while they're there in Bethlehem, something wonderful happens. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. And it says, And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. A humble birth for the Son of God. You know, as I thought about, you know, why would he be born in a manger, you know, born among the animals in this stall, you know, it'd be like us going to the barn and having a child in the barn and putting them in the feeding trough. You know, it's kind of something we wouldn't think even to do to our children, but here was the Son of God. But I guess my thought is, he was humbled because if he was born in a palace, we would have thought, well, he's only for the rich. He's only for the people of royalty. But he's not. He's for every common man, woman, and child. He's for everyone. He's not just for the rich and powerful. Jesus went from heaven. He was willing to come. Again, obedience to the Father. Went to this feeding trough. He lived his life as God directed him to. He went to that cross obediently, humbly, gave himself for our sin. And now he's back in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God, the Father. One day we get to see that. We get to see him there in his glory. We have a small glimpse of it today, but one day we will see it face to face. In 1 Peter 3:2, it says, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." When he was here on this earth, Satan tried to tempt him to take that early. But Satan couldn't give him the full benefit. He could only give him a short-term benefit if he had taken that temptation. But Jesus went through everything that God, the Father, required of him. He was obedient, even to the cross, to the death. And then he rose again the third day, according to Scripture. Let's look at Luke 2, 8 through 14. We're going to read this whole passage together in unison. So Luke 2, 8 to 14, an important thing that really should bring joy to our heart. Let's read this in unison, verses 8 through 14. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We can say amen to that. Thank God for what he's done. When you think of this great announcement, you know, you think it would have been to kings. It would have been to the rulers. It may have been to the religious leaders of the time, but no, it was taken to the shepherds, lowly shepherds, as we call them. But God's word, again, is not just to the kings. It's not just to the rich people, not just to the religious leaders. It was to all mankind. And so, you know, imagine that sight of the angels coming to those shepherds. You know, it's hard to imagine what that would have been like. And then to hear them say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The promise was coming true. God's promises, the prophecies he talked about in the Old Testament, were coming true. Jesus Christ was here. He was ready to take his place and do what God had called him to do. In Luke 2, 16 and 17, it says, "And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." I like that first part. They came with haste. They immediately went. They didn't wait. They didn't kind of wonder. They didn't question. They just went, and they went with haste. And when they got there and they saw the babe, they, you know, I can't, again, it's hard to imagine what that would have been like to see this baby, to know what was said about him, and to enjoy that fellowship with the parents there. So they were lying there. And, you know, it wasn't just something where they just, oh, that was nice, and they went back to their being a shepherd. It says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They were excited about what they had seen. When we accept Christ as our Savior, you know, we have that general, we have that excitement, and we should want to go tell others about Jesus Christ. And sometimes as we get older, more mature, you know, kind of get a little stuffier, you know, we don't have that excitement. We don't share the gospel like we once did. You know, it's easy to become like that. You know, we lose that excitement. But that's one of the nice things about Christmas. We get to re-energize ourselves in that thought of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do you have that excitement, you know, at Christmas? Or, you know, I know it gets drudgery of, oh, I've got to go here and buy this Christmas gift. I've got to go there and do that. You know, we get so caught up in all the other things. We need to keep remembering Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so in verse 18, it says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, sometimes when we go out soul winning, go knock on somebody's door and share the gospel with them, you know, I hope that it makes them wonder. You know, we don't always get to see someone get saved at a door, but it should make them at least wonder about Jesus Christ. But if we never go to that door, or we never talk about Jesus to other people, they're never going to wonder. And so we have a responsibility to go do that, to share, just like the shepherds did. And they wondered at those things that were told of them by the shepherds. And so we can do that. We can have a part, just like the shepherds did. And then we look to Mary in verses 19 and 20. He said, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Again, you know, they went glorifying God. Do we glorify God? Do we sing songs of praise? You know, I think of throughout the week, sometimes, you know, song, you know, a lot of times it has something to do with maybe something we heard in Sunday school or church, you know, a song, or maybe on something we're listening to on the phone or radio. But it should bring that joy again, you know. If we spend time in God's word, if we spend time in prayer, it should bring that joy like they had, and should re-energize us again, you know, to bring us that joy so that we might tell others about Jesus Christ. But she thought about those things that the shepherds had seen, and, you know, the time they had with them, to see them, the joy they had in their hearts, the way they went glorifying and praising God, telling others about what they had seen. And so we can think that in our lives, how we do that. Do we do that in our daily life, share the gospel with others? As I think about them, there was a change in their lives. Is there a change in our life? Or are we the same old we used to be? You know, I can think of a time where, you know, I said a prayer when I was young to be saved, but it was not something that was true. It was something that I did because I was told I should do it, but I didn't accept Christ as my Savior. There wasn't a change in my life. That prayer did not save me because it wasn't a prayer of faith. It was just a prayer that I said because someone told me to. But when I did accept Christ as my Savior, there was a change in my life. Things started changing. It was a little rough there at the beginning, but there was a lot of things that God had to change in my life, and he has. And I'm thankful for that. But as you think of these shepherds, you know, I'm sure they didn't go back to their shepherding the same. You know, they had some excitement. It makes you wonder, as Jesus lived his life, and they maybe heard some rumors, they heard some stories about Jesus and him going around healing people, him preaching some of his sermons. Did it make those shepherds wonder again about Jesus Christ and think about him? Did they go and try to hear him preach? It would have been interesting to know more about that. I'm sure one day we will find out. But Jesus was not just born just to live a life and die, and, you know, just like we did. We are going to, you know, he came to live and to die so that we could have eternal life. And so we can be thankful for what he's done. He was born to pay for mankind's sin, and he wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want just a few. He wants all. In 1 John 2:2, it says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In John 3:15, it says, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, I'm thankful I had that day where I accepted Christ. And I pray that each one of you have. If you have not, today is a great day to be saved, a great day on Christmas Day 2022 to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. This is the last passage we're going to turn to. Isaiah 53. Oh, I keep going back. Another Old Testament prophecy of why he came. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's why he came, to pay that for us, to pay those transgressions so that we could be healed. And so, by simple faith in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, we have eternal life, and we can tell others about him after we accept Christ. So we have until we die to accept Christ as our Savior, but once we die, it's too late. We'll have to suffer the punishment for our sin. So if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've never placed your faith in him, you could talk to me, you could talk to any one of the church members here, talk to Jeff. We'd be glad to share how you can know for sure you're going to spend eternity with God when you pass from this earth. Christian, has Christ transformed your life? Are you struggling with that? We all do. We struggle to share the gospel like we ought to. We all struggle with that. We all struggle to live as God tells us to. That's why we need to be in God's word, reading it, so that he can transform us. It's not going to be transformed if we never read his word. It's not going to be transformed if we never spend time in communication with our Savior. We need to be in God's word so we can be part of maybe the transformation of someone else, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful time of year where we can enjoy family and friends. We can see what you've done for us. You died on the cross for our sins. We thank you that you were born for this purpose. We thank you that we have family and friends who do know you as Savior, but Lord, I'm sure all of us know those who don't know you as Savior. I pray for opportunities to be a witness to these that do not know you. I pray your Spirit would work on their hearts even now. I pray that you just help us in this year to come to look for those opportunities to share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.